This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are The Drive. And Philip Lindsay had someone have his high school jersey, man. How did they get that? What's that about?
You know, when I got out of college, they started to sell the high school jerseys. And so at first, I didn't know nothing about it. And somebody had to write me and say, hey, they're selling your jerseys, and I'm supposed to be able to profit off of whatever they sell. So there's a company that started doing that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, because that is rare. I mean, isn't that really cool?
Yeah, it really is, man. It really is.
Let's give something away. Get your phone out. Ludacris and T-Pain will be at Cheyenne Frontier Days Thursday, July 25th. All this week, three times a day, you're going to get a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. So listen to 104.3 The Fan with Schlereth and Evans and Stokely and Josh and Us The Drive with Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay for your chance to win your pair of tickets. And that chance is literally right now. Caller number 4 at 303-713-1043. You're going to get broken off by my guy Kamaje Granderson. Uh-oh. Back in the studio.
Legend.
Handing out assists and tickets back there, wheeling and dealing. Caller number 4 right now, 303-713-1043. You're going to get hooked up with those tickets. Okay, I have a handful of things I want to get to here. I feel bad because I teased into something with the previous segment, and yeah. Jake came over. We had to take a detour. But I want to bounce off you guys a bit of an analogy right now with the Nuggets and the Broncos. I will tell you before I start, it's not a perfect analogy, all right? And analogies aren't supposed to be perfect, okay? In the dictionary, the definition of an analogy, they say a head of a household is like a king to a kingdom. Well, like, I'm the head of a house. I'm not, like, sentencing anyone to death or something.
You're taking the trash out still.
Yeah. So it's,
well, that's because you're the queen or you're the joker in your house.
I like that. Analogies aren't supposed to be perfect. This isn't one.
Yeah.
Okay? This isn't a perfect analogy. But we are hearing that if Michael Penix Jr. did not have the injury history he does have, that he would be going in the top 4 of the draft. If Michael Penix Jr. didn't have his injury history, he would be going in the top 4 of the NFL draft, okay? Once upon a time, the Nuggets were looking at a also would-be top pick with initials MPJ that tumbled down the draft to pick number 14. And it just so happens that became like the perfect intersection for the Nuggets to say, you want to know what? There is risk baked in with the pick because of the injury history. But at this position, there's too much value to say no. All right. Now, I know Michael Porter Jr. was not being asked to be the franchise player. They already had one of those. And maybe that gave them the luxury to take a flyer on Michael Porter Jr. I understand that. But the Broncos are picking at 12 a guy that people believe would already be in the top 4 if he was didn't have an injury history. And I'm wondering if instead of the inherent risk it takes picking the player and not sure if the player could work, you're taking the risk of the injury instead of the player.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the Broncos should say, you want to know what? We'll roll the dice. We will take the injury risk. And we'll take Michael Penix Jr. And I know I just did a lot of rambling, but I'm curious what you guys thought of the Michael Porter Jr. analogy and how close it could be to what the Broncos are going to do at number 12.
Let me be clear, Zach. Michael Porter Jr. was the top player coming out of his high school class. Michael Penix Jr. was not. Michael Penix Jr. is also undersized for his position, whereas Michael Porter Jr. is oversized. The Denver Nuggets not only had stars at that point, but where they were in the draft, they knew that was the last time they'd be picking that high in that era, and that would be the last chance, because they can't get free agents here in the NBA. That'd be their last chance to land another star around Nikola Jokic. This is the first star for the Broncos.
Right.
This is an undersized quarterback who, frankly, I enjoyed watching in the Pac-12, but you think he could scramble a little bit. You think he's a little bit more athletic than he is. He rushed for less than 10 yards last year.
I know, just 8.
He's not that guy at that next level. I don't see him as
but
a
But that's
top
what Sean
prospect.
Wants, though. Sean doesn't want nobody rolling around. I mean, there was a stat from PFF talking about Russell Wilson and how the...
Oh, yes. The offensive line was only, of the 45 sacks, they were only attributing 16 to the offensive line, the rest on Russell Wilson.
And Stink's, what Stink has shown us in his film room breakdowns says that's true. So I
Michael Penix Jr., though.
But why would you put a limitation on your offense? Because Penix is a decent deep ball thrower, but I don't think he's accurate or deep, throws the ball deep enough consistently.
That's where I think you're wrong. I think that he's excellent when it comes to pinpoint something. Now, he may not have the strongest arm. Some of the best quarterbacks in the league didn't have the strongest arm. But if you're consistent, if you stay in that pocket and you let things develop, that's what Sean's looking for. He is not looking for a guy that wants to go outside of the box. He's looking for some guy to stay inside the pocket, okay, that can be calm and that can get what he wants down in the middle of the field. That's all he's looking for. Now, I'm not saying that's what Sean wants as Michael Penix Jr., but I'm saying that Michael Penix Jr. is really good at doing that, and he's shown that he is athletic. He just chooses not to run.
Okay, what I'll tell you in response is this. The Broncos wide receiver room right now, and I wholeheartedly believe this, is not as good as the Washington wide receiver room that Michael Penix was
Roma Dunze, yeah.
And McMillan. Yeah, like that receiver room was sick.
That's funny, dude.
So I don't think, even with a great offensive mind, yep, like Sean Payton and Kalen DeBoer at Washington, yeah, was that as well, I don't think that Michael Penix Jr. would be in the position to succeed here. I don't like Bo Nix because of his age, frankly. I actually like the way he plays football.
Yeah.
But I don't like that he doesn't throw past the line of scrimmage that much. He doesn't throw the ball downfield. But if you're staying at 12, Nix is a far better option than Penix. But, man, to have a quarterback like Caleb Williams go in the draft and you end up with having to trade your whole franchise for J.J. McCarthy, that'd be a death sentence.
Yeah, well, we don't know if that would be a death sentence. We don't know that, Mr. Jake Shapiro. We don't know the future. And if you
do... That's Zach's baby, so you got to handle it with caution.
I know. I had to get one little shot in. Yeah. I haven't been out with Zach talking J.J. yet.
I like Michael Penix. I watched so much Michael Penix this year. And there was one game I walked away turned off, and that was the national championship.
Yeah.
Every other game...
But tell me this, though, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but J.J. McCarthy didn't have a good game either. My man only threw 13 or 14 times.
Well, he didn't throw it all in the second half.
Well,
basically,
there you go. Yeah. We ran the ball once. So how did people fall in love with J.J. McCarthy from that national championship game?
I don't think it's based off the national championship game. I think it's the deeper dive. I think it's a deeper dive. Like, you can't fall in love with J.J. McCarthy by looking at raw numbers, by looking at touchdowns, interceptions, because his team and the lack of attempts in the second half and fourth quarters.
So you
got
to go deep diving to convince yourself that he is the better option. That's all I'm saying is people are going so deep into saying we had to do more because of how their team was to say that he's a better option than what's being put out there from Michael Penix Jr. every single game where you're seeing it. You're seeing this man do it. You don't have to go deep dive. The only thing that's holding him back is the quote-unquote injuries.
Yeah.
If the injuries were not there, my man Jake and Zach, he would have been top four, top three.
Well, no, I agree. I do not disagree. I do not believe Michael Penix is undersized either, Jake. You said that a couple times. He's 6'3". He does not stick out as like an oddity, like a Baker Mayfield or something, or a Drew Brees.
Well, he's not Russ.
No. He can see over some of the linemen.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole conversation, the Broncos have 3 weeks to figure this out, fellas.
Crazy.
That's it.
Do you think they know? Wow, my voice popped a little bit. All
I
the yelling
that.
At Coors Field today. Strike that from the record. Do you think right now, if you ask them, that the Denver Broncos truly know what they want to do?
No, I don't believe so. I think there's too many options, and there's too many options. And when I say too many options, there's like five different ways that they can go. And Sean, when you say they, it's really Sean.
Yeah.
It's really Sean.
And that's why you should change your answer up. It's Sean.
Yeah.
Sean already knows what he wants.
I do think Sean knows what he wants, but it's can I get what I want? I want certain things that are unattainable for me personally. And I think Sean genuinely wants J.J. McCarthy.
Then you know what, Zach? It's not so far-fetched because we have sources from the Saints saying that if Sean wants something he loves, he will go out and get it. Sean, if that's the case, and Sean loves J.J. McCarthy and Sean doesn't think J.J.'s going to be there, he's going to give up everybody.
Yeah, but you need a willing partner. Even if you're willing to give it all up, and the Broncos don't have immediate draft capital like Minnesota does. Now, they could get involved with that immediacy conversation with trading Pat Surtain. And I believe Sean Wood, by the way.
Yeah, I think Sean Wood. It's going to hit everybody's ears, you know, the wrong way. But yeah. Sean is not tied to Pat Surtain. He does not know anything about Pat Surtain because he did not draft Pat Surtain.
No, and he's played 3 years in the league. And I think I could fairly argue that the better of the 3 years was the first two as opposed to this past year when Sean was actually coaching him. And I think that he would be willing to depart with him instead of resetting the market in a year, which is what PS2 is going to be looking for. So you put that all in a pot. I think he's in play. Jake, what do you think?
Well, does Pat Surtain really fit Vance's scheme, right? Because a lot of people don't remember that, but he was playing under different schemes the last couple years. They changed defensive schemes, and they have a different guy running their defense. I mean, Sean's the head coach, don't get me wrong, and he runs the offense, but Vance basically is in charge of the entire defensive unit, and he's a well-respected voice in the NFL. So if Vance says, I can make it work with somebody else, why wouldn't you? But one thing I know from covering sports is when you have a decision as big as what do you do at number 12 in the draft, are we going to pick the next franchise quarterback? Are we going to mortgage draft capital and our franchise current star to do it? That's past Sean on the decision-making tree. That's a Greg Penner decision.
I don't think that's crazy. And Greg has become, I mean, Greg is in the fast lane of figuring
the
football thing out.
He's aggressive.
He's there every day. I mean, Greg has poured himself into this franchise from everything that I understand. And a guy who may have not known so much about football has learned a couple hard lessons already in the first 2 years. And what do they say? Like, necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah.
He needed to get involved in this situation because the Broncos are not in a good place. So I think from just a football acumen standpoint, Greg is light years ahead of where he was 2 years ago. I want to shift gears here, Jake, while we still have you, because I asked a couple of questions in the first half of the show that I want to revisit. And we started talking about who is more essential to a title run, Val Nichushkin or Jamal Murray.
Yep.
In pretty short order, we got to the answer to that question. It's Jamal Murray, from the construct of the sport to where he is in the hierarchy of the Nuggets as opposed to Val.
Yep.
But the follow-up questions that I didn't get to is, what would equal, is there anything that can equal success for the Nuggets that doesn't involve a parade? Can this be a successful season without finishing with a championship?
No. No, not when you have Jokic going for his third MVP, okay, with the Denver Nuggets having an opportunity to bring two home, bring two championships, one from last year and now. There's no other way. This is win or bust. Win or bust.
Is it, Jake, banner or bust for the Denver Nuggets?
If you're telling me they lose in Game 7 in Boston in the NBA Finals in a tight fourth quarter, that's a success of the season, man. It's gonna sting. It's gonna really, really hurt. But if you get to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row,
after never doing it ever,
I would have been. If you reverse the years, Zach, and you said they faced the best team in basketball, went to the finals, and then a year later they got a weaker team and then beat them, everyone here would be thrilled. So what's the difference if we just change up the 2 years and you run into the team this year? I mean, I like them against Boston in the series. I'm just playing out the scenario.
Yeah.
So I'd be hard-pressed to say anything's a failure if they get to the NBA Finals unless they got swept.
For this year, though.
Yeah.
For this year, because we're saying this like they won't be back next year. They have the team to be back next year. Who are
I
they
know
missing?
Some things.
Well, okay.
KCP.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be missing KCP.
For sure, but you can go out and get somebody just like KCP.
They don't really have the ability to do that. They're going to be up against the second apron. It will really hamstring them. The dream scenario, if you lose KCP, is that Reggie takes a cheaper number, he declines his player option,
takes some stupid shots, too.
He does, you're right.
he is kind of a make-or-miss guy.
Yeah.
He is kind of a make-or-miss guy, but that guy in the last 2 months, as opposed to, what was it, the first two? I mean, he was so good in the early portions of the year. Now he's playing up a role. Obviously, he should not be playing as many minutes, but last night, he did not play as many minutes. He did not finish. Christian Brown finished that game. So, Where were we going? The construct of the... Hey, but to that vein, you're saying...
They'd be basically picking up Bruce Brown on a minimum deal, and Bruce Brown's a far worse player than KCP, even though I love Bruce Brown. I think what they need to happen is they need KCP to sign an extension in order for them to extend this window. You know, like, for me, that's the key piece moving forward. And then a year from now is when you figure out how are we going to be able to make this work with keeping MPJ and Aaron Gordon. But basically, you have this year, and if KCP signs back, you have next year. But there's no guarantee that after years of basketball and deep postseason runs, and half these guys are going to play in the Olympics this summer, that they're going to be healthy. So I understand the urgency that if you're going to win a second title, this year is more likely than next year.
In terms of KCP, I have to shoehorn disagreement that he is, like, infinitely better than Bruce Brown or however you put it. I disagree. I think he's better and more important, but I don't think that it's the gulf between them that you kind of insinuated, but I just had to squeeze that in for my own personal reasons. Why did KCP the other night? Because you're getting to the end of the season. Him and his agent are already talking with the Nuggets. You know that. What do you hear what he said at the end of the game when he was interviewed on the court? Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, he goes, I'm a Nugget for life.
He goes, Nuggets for life.
Yeah.
And I think that he wants to be here.
And tell me this. Why did he sign a shoe deal with 361?
There you go.
Out of nowhere.
There you go.
So I think something's up here. What I do know from my rumblings and it being plugged in on the NBA is that the Philadelphia 76ers are going to have a lot of cap room this summer. Their number one target is Paul George. If they strike out on Paul George, it's KCP is their number two target. Why I say KCP is so much better than these other guys, I think Bruce is a dog. He has more playmaking ability than KCP. But Bruce is a 33-34% shooter. KCP shoots 44% from three.
Sure.
He is just a different level of shooter. And last night against the Clippers...
But Bruce does stuff that KCP doesn't do.
I agree with you. But last night against the Clippers, when they needed him, KCP all of a sudden was running a lot of those dribble handoffs that are running for Jamal.
I love KCP. I don't want to misrepresent myself. I absolutely love Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. In fact, the summer that they got both them and Bruce Brown, I remember going on the station saying, guys, it's not going to lead SportsCenter. These are the two biggest pickups this entire offseason in the NBA because I knew that was the accents that they needed for a championship run. A listener sent this to me. I couldn't believe it was true, but I went back and looked at it, and it is true. 17 occasions last year, 17 occasions during the postseason, a bench player scored in double figures, and Bruce Brown has 15 of the 17.
15.
That's what they are missing right now, and I do know when Jamal comes back and the staggered and limited minutes and more narrow focus for those guys, I think the bench is not going to be as big of an issue as it is in the regular season because what they're asked to do is just, it's bloviated. The Bruce Brown, I remember the Bruce Brown, was Bruce Brown to the Nuggets what Nazem Kadri was, and I thought that analogy was closer than people like to admit.
Well, you got Zach in a little frenzy because of that. I like Bruce Brown too. You know, I like Bruce Brown. I like what he brought to the table, and quite frankly, we need a Bruce Brown to be here. You know, it would make me feel a lot more comfortable having Bruce Brown here.
Yeah, Bruce Brown's really only here if KCP's gone.
Yeah.
So then he's the starting shooting guard. So it doesn't really solve the bench issue.
KCP, KCP needs to be the priority, and he is. I know that he is.
Yeah.
You are kind of like our Bruce Brown here today.
Yeah, and you're about to be in a frenzy, and so are our listeners when they find out what happened.
Yep, and what just happened across the street at Coors Field? Woo-hoo! We'll tell you next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay.
And Mack lifts his ball high and deep to right.
Put that one in your Rockies opening day memory book. Are you kidding me? That is how you kick off baseball in Denver in 2024 with a walk-off grand slam.
They've been waiting for this. They've just been waiting to get back home, with the crowd, and decide to make it some exciting ending.
Dude, that is incredible. Ryan McMahon, dude. Have a day. A grand slam on opening day? That's one of the great.
He needs to come over to the patio.
That may be right. That may be. That's top three opening day Rockies moment. I mean, that is incredible, and I'd hate to be a show that started rooting for the Orioles or the Braves.
Oh!
It could never be me.
Oh!
It could never be Phil. It could never be us. We'd never turn our back on the Rockies.
Let's go. Shame on them.
Oh, my goodness.
Shame on them. And they, guess what? They got to keep those teams the whole year.
Yes, yes, yes.
It may be okay for them later on.
Maybe
but
so.
Not today.
Not today. All we're worried about is today.
All we have is today.
That's it, man. We're not promised tomorrow.
Oh,
God
man.
Almighty, Rockies.
That's great, man. Good stuff.
That is so amazing,
Chris
man.
Bryant getting a home run?
Yes, Chris Bryant had a dinger, man. He and earlier in the game, we were being told he was getting booed. He started 0-for-3. We know about his lackluster start to the season. We know about some of the comments that rubbed some people the wrong way about maybe should have done more research on the team he was joining.
Yep.
And not just looking at the money he was offered. I know that rubs some people the wrong way. Best way to get back in their good graces is just start playing good baseball.
They have to start playing good baseball. Was it Dick Mumford? Before the season even started, he said the best way to shut up critics is win.
Yep.
Right?
And he said win all the time.
Win all the time.
I don't know about that all the time part, but today, dub.
Today dub, we got to win.
Dub.
And we won.
Oh, my gosh.
They get some ice cream.
What a fantastic scene here at El Patio Denver. If you want to see some of the sights and sounds of it, I have posted some of it on my Instagram account at ZVI23. Got some shots of Phil taking some pictures.
Yep.
And someone brought in their high school, Phil's high school jersey. And it's just been an absolute hoot of a time and definitely a memorable day. Met so many great listeners. My guy CJ
uh-oh,
came over here and we have not been given individual shout outs because it's been just too chaotic.
It's too hectic.
But this dude, you want to talk about like a fan? This is a fan's fan right there.
CJ!
And he made me feel like $1 million, so I gotta give him a shout out. real quick, I want to shine some light on a story that is relevant to us here in Denver, and it's relevant to actually today.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you a quick story about a young man named Quantez Stiggers.
Remember the name.
This is a 22-year-old from Atlanta, Georgia, okay? Really good high school football player. Got a full athletic scholarship to Lane College in Jackson, Tennessee, an HBCU, all right? His freshman year playing college football, his father got killed in a car accident. Mm. He slipped into a really deep depression and just stopped showing up to school and never went back. Never went back. So why are we talking about this young man here today? I'm going to tell you in just a second. So he never goes back to school, but in 2022, do you remember that story about like a fan-controlled football league where it's like a live-streaming indoor American football league where fans could like vote on what plays that you should run?
Johnny Manziel was in it, right?
Bingo. Good memory. And at the urging of his mother, this young man, Quantez Stiggers, who dropped out of college as a freshman and never went back because of a death to his father and depression setting in, his mother begged him to try this football league, and he did. So he goes out there and he starts playing well in this fan-controlled football league. That caught the eye of a guy named Josh Jenkins, who is the offensive coordinator of the Toronto Argonauts in this Canadian Football League.
Yeah.
He said, man, you should try out for the CFL. He thought he had that much to him in this fan football league. He tries out for the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. He goes to rookie camp. Everyone assumes he's going to get cut. He literally doesn't have college experience.
Yeah, he probably thought he was going to get cut.
Yes, but he's trying. He's trying out. He makes the team. Well, things start breaking right where he finds himself on the field in the CFL, which is a really high level of football.
And trust me, Zach, there's a lot of people from the CFL and this UFL that's going on that are going to be in the NFL and should be in the NFL.
It's just because we have the best league in the world doesn't mean there's not a really awesome second best league, third best league. And so he gets on the field for the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. He starts making plays.
Yeah.
Now he gets put in a starting role. Phil, by the end of the year, This kid became the defensive rookie of the year in the Canadian Football League. And today, he is at Dove Valley meeting with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
From dropping out of college and not playing a second of college football as a freshman, not going back, joining a fan-controlled football league, getting the eye of a CFL coordinator, trying out for the team, making plays, defensive rookie of the year. It's an incredible story of perseverance.
It really is, man. It really is. This might be the first time this has ever happened that I know of. So I'm really rooting for this young man. I think at some point it's going to happen for him. It could be here in Denver. It could be with the Denver Broncos. And if that's the case, I'm going to have to get a jersey.
I like that.
I'm going to have to get a jersey for the young man.
I like it. I like it. Really, really, really fun story. We'll see if it turns into anything. But he got an invite to the East-West Shrine Bowl. He's on the Broncos' radar. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him. All right. It was a busy day today, and it's going to be a really, really busy weekend. What are the five things we're watching for over the weekend? We'll tell you coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right, what are the five things we're watching for this weekend? We'll get to that here in just a second. Do we have Mike Rice back in the studio?
What is up, guys?
Oh.
Okay, so Mike Rice is a newer member of our team here within the last year. Mike, you may hear him time and again on the fan, but he's been on the airwaves in Colorado for a very long time. And is the former, one of the former voices of the Colorado Rockies. So his resume is legitimate, to say the least. And Mike, I'm curious,
yes,
where does today's finish, a walk-off grand slam, rank in opening day moments in the history of this franchise?
Yeah, I think it's got to be up there. I mean, the first one I always think of, and I think you guys mentioned it, is Barmas's home run against Trevor Hoffman years ago. But I tell you what, I mean, you could see this one setting up. And I don't know if you guys even had a monitor there, but here in the studio, it was like, okay, Justin Lawrence starts to melt down. It's like the first couple guys reach. I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. And then Jake Cave gets the walk to start the bottom of the ninth, and all of a sudden, you know, Rymack finishes it off. I think it's got to be up there, especially because of the start this team had, guys. Again, it's such a long way to go, but, man, a home opening win is just so much fun. And you guys have talked about everybody here on the fan has talked about it all day, and the coverage has been awesome, capturing all the excitement. But what a way to cap it off. I mean, seriously, I think it's a great moment. And now, I mean, you think, can they build on it? Well, it starts with the starting pitcher tomorrow.
Right, which is?
You know, I got to look.
Okay.
Hang on. I'll find it.
Okay. You know, now, like, look, I want the Rockies to be good. We're not adopting another team on the drive.
Kudos.
We root for the Rockies. Phil's got a Rockies jersey and a hat on, and it's going to be Ryan Feltner tomorrow on the bump for Colorado. But, Phil's got a Rockies jersey on and a Rockies hat. I got my Rockies shirt on.
We got our black
Taylor's to go with it, and we pull for the Rockies. And if the Rockies suck, the Rockies suck.
They
but guess
do.
What? We pull for the Rockies.
Honestly, so, what is this front running? You know, go to the Orioles, go to the Braves. That's weak. That's weak sauce. Right,
weak minded.
And now, Mike, it's like, can they win one more this weekend and steal a series from Tampa? They win one of the next two and steal a series.
Yeah, you know, I want to like Ryan Feltner, guys. I'm not there yet. I want to see more consistency. So hopefully the bats stay hot. And then they've got Dakota Hudson, another new face against Ryan Pepiot, who's, you know, not a bad pitcher for the race. It's certainly doable, but it starts with those two guys, Feltner and Hudson. I got to say, I'm going to be out there with you. I'm on the optimistic side. I say they get one of the next two and win the series.
I think so, too. All right. So, Mike, at the end of every show here for the last couple of weeks, we do the Drive's Top 5 of the Night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. It's what you're watching for this weekend. Could be anything. Doesn't have to be sports, but we have a ton of sports going on. So, Mr. Philip Lindsay, we'll start with you, and then we'll move to Kamaje and Drew Spivak and hear from Mike as well. Phil, what are you watching for this weekend?
Yeah, man. I mean, look, there's a lot going on. I think I'm going to just kind of watch every single sport I can, from the Nuggets to the Colorado Avalanche. See if the Rockies can't get on a little win streak at some point.
Yeah.
Just flipping through. It's Friday, Zen. It's Friday. We're almost done.
Yes. Beers have just been delivered
beers
to
are,
us.
Beers are flowing. So guess what? I'm watching everything.
I love it. There's a lot going on. I mean, we got Final Four, men's and women's. The Nuggets playing the Hawks tomorrow. Will Jamal Murray come back? The Avs in Edmonton on the second night of a back-to-back. The return of Val Nichushkin. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot going on. So we'll transition to Kamaje Granderson. KJ, my man behind the glass. What are you looking for this weekend?
You already know what I'm looking for. It's UConn, Iowa. And that is going to be the matchup of the night. I think it's going to carry us through Saturday. That's what the buzz is going to be about. I look forward to seeing how Paige Bueckers and Caitlin Clark match up against each other. This is probably one of the most prolific matchups in the Final Four we've seen in probably the last decade.
Yes.
So this is going to go down as one of the funnest, if not most entertaining games you'll ever see, men's or women basketball. And I look forward to it.
And I think it's going to draw a huge number. And I believe both games on the women's Final Four side will beat both men's games on their Final Four side. The tickets are more than double to get into the women's Final Four. I never even thought about it for a second to say that I never thought we'd get to this day, but that would take me thinking about it. I never even thought about it. It just came. It just arrived. It's just so crazy. Let's transition good stuff, KJ, to Drew Spivak, who is here on location. Drew, what are you watching for this weekend?
Boys, you know me. As usual, it's going to be a puck night for myself. Yes, I'm watching Alexander Georgiev. Last time we saw him, he got pulled from the game against the Nashville Predators after launching a puck into the stands. So I want to see, how's he rebounding now? We saw Edinen have a really good game last night. Pressure's on Georgiev now. Go out and keep the Avalanche in the Central Division race against Edmonton tonight.
I absolutely love it. Our guy Mike Rice in the studio about to handle Denver sports tonight. What are you watching for this weekend in the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing?
Yeah, Zach, KJ and I are watching the women's game together. I got to tell you, Caitlin Clark is something. Bueckers is amazing. I don't know that I ever would have said that would have been the number one sporting event for me, but I got to see this game. I got to see it. First off, I like Auriemma. He's like my favorite coach.
Okay.
Caitlin Clark is incredible. If Iowa gets to the championship game this year, takes another step, I think that'd be great. I want to see what those two stars can do.
I absolutely love it. Man, to try to pick just one thing is going to be hard, because if Jamal comes back, it's such a big deal. It's such a big deal. If Val Nichushkin, we're going to see him tonight. We're expecting to see him. That's such a big deal. The UConn Iowa game is going to be fascinating. I'll have my eyes on it all. And guess what? Guess what? The Rockies have earned my viewership this weekend. What they did today, they've earned my viewership. I'll give them a chance.
It was a pretty game.
Yeah, and see if they can edge out one more win and win their first series and just their second opportunity. So, and here's my hope. And if you guys missed this, you got to go back and listen. We did a segment about midway through hour number two called Rockies or Reality.
Yeah.
And I gave Phil a name. Did they play for the Rockies, or were they a part of a Bravo reality TV show? And it was freaking hilarious. You got to go back and watch it. But my hope is we don't do that again. I don't want to do that.
No.
So we'll see if Rockies can make a little headway in the narrative that is almost feeling insurmountable. And they just have to go win some games. But what I'm watching for, I'll watch for all of that this weekend. I can't wait for all of it. But I'm going to tell you.
Uh-oh.
Once a year. You know, what do they call Cheyenne Frontier Days? The daddy of them all.
Daddy of them all.
The daddy of them all.
You know what they call it? They might have stole that phrase. Because once a year, there's the granddaddy of them all.
The granddaddy of them all.
And that's WrestleMania.
You and this wrestling.
And I believe they're in Philly at the Link outside. It is going to be a scene. They'll break the attendance record. It's a two-night event. But The Rock and Roman Reigns. I don't watch current wrestling. I just don't. I'm just not into it. I'm 37. And no offense if someone's listening, they do. I like the old stuff.
Yeah,
but once a year, when Royal Rumble comes around, when WrestleMania comes around, and when SummerSlam comes around, those three things, I jump back on board.
You gotta have it.
I turn back to 7 years old, eat a Hot Pocket, eat my boogers, and watch my wrestling.
Without the kids. I know the kids aren't allowed to watch wrestling.
Yeah, we watch let my son watch 30 seconds, and he attacks someone at preschool the next day.
Oh.
So no wrestling for young Owen at 5 years old, maybe when he's 6 or 7. But, this was hilariously fun.
It was great.
I knew it was going to be fun. I couldn't imagine it would have been this fun. And a huge shout-out to Drew Spivak on location, El Patio Denver across the street from Coors Field, Jake Shapiro hopping on the show, Mike Rice closing it out, Kamaje behind the glass. And when I say the over 100 listeners who came and found us today and showed love with a pound, a handshake, a picture, a signature, you guys made us feel way more important than we actually are. But I'll remember this day for a very long time,
Phil. Yes, yes, man, yes. Happy Friday.
Yes.
Enjoy the Friday. I get to enjoy it with you and Drew and some of our other, you know, crew.
Yes.
And yeah, man.
Let's go, man. This beer is not going to drink itself. This gummy is not going to eat itself.
No, it ain't.
Hey, have a great weekend, everyone. We step aside. It's Mike Rice. It's Denver Sports Tonight coming up next.